Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us together, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I struggled with what to try to preach this morning and brought a few things with me, but God seemed to burden me with the assigned subject that Brother Pete Horn had received, the love of God in election. And certainly that's a fitting and apt description of it.
Amen.
The love of God is a most blessed thought in any aspect that you would like to consider it. And certainly we know some things about it, but the unsearchableness of it, and the depths, and the breadth, and the breadth, and the width, no one can comprehend. Now, I do not really believe that even through an eternity in his presence, with what we shall be, know as we are known, face to face, his love will always transcend our ability to comprehend. We'll never know nor plummet the depths of the love of Almighty God for people who were so ill-deserving. The love of God is unconditional, eternal, immutable, infinite, unsearchable, sovereign, effectual, manifest, immeasurable, and so much more that I'll just stop right there. One of the certain manifestations of the love of God is election. Surely, any who know God and rejoice in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ recognize the fact that God must have done something in them, for them, to them, and or else they would never love him. Because the truth is, we love him because he first loved us. And we chose to come to him because he first chose us. The only way that we ever would have known anything about the true sacrifice of Jesus Christ is that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Otherwise, the love of God, the goodness of God, and all the things that we are so blessed by, these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, would have remained unknown by us but God. Election has all the divine qualities as the love of God does, because it is a work of God. And what God does is certainly done right and righteous. When one would contemplate the election of God into salvation, we can say that it is according to the good pleasure of his grace. And that's true. That's what he told us, isn't it? They also must know that in some aspect, the love of God was a motivating force within God himself to choose some unto salvation. He said his love upon us, or he said his choosing upon us because he loved us. And so we may rejoice in that. I have three thoughts, and we will not preach them this morning, but you think about this, and it will be a blessing to you. First of all, the source of election calls for the love of God.
Amen.
Secondly, the subjects of election cries out the love of God. And then the success of election commands the love of God.
Amen.
And that's a fact of it, if you can put it together. First of all, the source of election calls for God. Well, who was it? Verse 4, it said, according as he hath chosen us in him. I don't read anything of me, mine, ours, or us. It matters at all to you. All I read about that is pronouns that God has reserved to himself in his word as he describes himself as the I am, the I be, I am he. He chose us in him. Now surely that shows us the source of God's election is based totally and wholly did not merely look down through time and see who would participate in his presentation of a plan. And once he saw that they would let him save them, he chose them based upon what they did. Now that's no kind of election.
Right.
Even Obama didn't get in like that.
Right.
So that's no kind of election at all. God knew. I could ask you a question. When did God know me?
Always. Before the foundation was.
When did God love me?
Always. Foundation was.
Now, if you can come up with the beginning of that, you can go deeper than I can. You'd find that the time that God began, that's when election began.
Yeah.
You come up with the time that God began to be, and you'll find out when He started loving you.
Amen.
How long will I be one of His elect? How long will God love me?
Forever.
Until He dies. And then when God dies, I've had it. Be no hope for me. But as long as He ever lived, I'm okay. I've got it whipped. I'm His. He chose us. I don't know how in this world people can get so confused on something so simple.
Amen.
Truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Now, I don't know how simple God could say it. That's about as plain an English. That's such a plain English that this old fellow like Amos was, brother. Just an old cow, an old country poet that grew up back in the sticks of North Carolina, so far back that the county was called Yankee. So, I mean, I grew up there, and I can understand when it says, "You didn't choose me." I know, God, I didn't choose you. And He said, "But I chose you." I said, "Lord, that means You chose me." Yeah. And God says, "And I ordained you." And I said, "Well, that means You ordained me."
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about the Greek, but I can tell you what that means in Greek. It means we didn't choose Him. He chose us and ordained us. That's what that means in the Greek. And so understand the reality of it. The source of election is God. The time of election calls for it to be of God. When does He choose us in Him? Well, you want to know, it's before the foundation of the world. Infinitely before the foundation of the world. There was never a time when God's precious chosen children were not in Him.
Amen.
Preacher, how do you explain that? I just did. I just did a bit of the case. We were in Him and have been and ever shall be. It's so simple to just comprehend and believe what God has said. When we see that the Lord tells us that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, He doesn't mean 1 second before the foundation of the world, or 1 month, or 1 year, or any of these kinds of things. God says, "I chose you in Him before the foundation of the world at a time you can't comprehend," because there was no time. We're so wrapped up in the things that past, present, future, and that's all we in our finite minds and limitations of life on this planet can comprehend. Infinity is an unknown thing. That's the word we use, but we don't know what it means. We don't know what it is. But we'll find out what eternity is. We'll learn what it is one of these days. The time of election calls for God's love because there was no other being nor matter that existed. The Lord asked Job some questions, didn't He? Joe, stand up and gird up your loins.
Joe says, oh me, I've had it in trouble now.
Or if he should. If he didn't know it was, he soon learned he was in trouble. And I would say to you that anyone that wants to say to God, you did it based upon something in me, is going to be in for some surprises one place or another.
Sure are.
I'll guarantee you, one way or the other. There was no influence upon God to choose even one. Let alone go up to choose no man could know. What did God tell Abraham? I'll tell you, this might mean a little more to you now. It does mean that I shall make thy seed as the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
Or as the sand on the seashore. Ain't gonna be that little bag of sand. Everything about this was solely based on and proceeds from God setting His love upon us. God told the nation of Israel, 7th chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 7, He said, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest. You know how many Jews there were when God chose them, called them? Abraham. That's all. That's about as few as you can get, isn't it? One, God didn't choose Abraham because of something in Abraham. God put in Abraham everything good in Abraham.
Amen.
He didn't put seed forward, not foreseen good in him. He would have never had it for what God gave him, just like you, I, or any other mortal. Deuteronomy 7:8 goes on to say, but because the Lord loved you.
Amen.
And because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt. When you consider the source of election, it calls out the love of God. And when you consider the subject of election, it cries out the love of God. Who are the subjects of election? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we, us, I appreciate Brother Drew reading that passage for me that the Lord Jesus Christ said He came to call sinners, not the righteous to repentance. I don't have to do it now. Do you understand exactly what sinners God chose in Christ? Not the best of sinners. He chose some of the worst of sinners. You know, Peter probably cussed a lot of Cyprus. I mean, you know, he was a fisherman. He lived on the ocean. He was a sailor. Peter would brag and boast of what he was going to do, and he proved himself to be a liar. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of Baptists like Peter.
Right.
We were created in His image. Let me tell you about us sinners. We, who were chosen in Him, we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. God made us upright to the extent that God said of Himself, it's very good. And that includes Adam and Eve. That right? We're in Adam in a perfect environment, surrounded by love and beauty, pleasure beyond comprehension, all of our needs supplied, fellowship unhindered, loved and near love, intelligent beyond any other mortal who has ever been save Jesus Christ Himself, blessed with communion with God daily, a utopia.
Mm-hmm.
But we chose. We sought out new adventures. We rebelled against God's love and mercy and goodness and life and all that God had done for us, in us, through us, in Adam. Adam knowingly disobeyed God. The one and the only commandment that God had ever given to man. And Adam, and we in him, bruised the heel of the promised Messiah in the garden. And then things got worse. You say, that's a horrible thought. That's what we did in Adam. Well, we've got no better.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes, right.
We're no more depraved than Adam was the second after he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I'm telling you right now, man sought out new inventions and ways to manifest that gravity. Yes, the practice. We live in an age which most anybody here is old enough to remember. Well, I start to say what that you didn't know, you don't know how to operate computers. And I don't know how old you have to be, glad I'm old enough. But I can remember when things weren't like they are now.
Amen.
And I'm sad about it. I can remember when you went to the house of God on Sunday, you just pretty well stayed home. People go to the house of God, there wasn't anywhere else open to go.
Right.
It cost to go to the mercy room.
Yeah.
And you didn't go there.
There's
nowhere to go. But now, we live in a time as the manifestation of the sinners. We sin because we're sinners. You understand that? Because we sinned didn't make us a sinner. We were a sinner, and therefore
right.
We sinned. Now we live, love, and drink iniquity like water. You know what that? You know what God tells when He says that? He said you never get enough of it.
Yeah.
How much water is it that you never want anymore? You just have to keep going back, don't you? You can drink all you want at one time, but it won't be too long until you'll be wanting some more. And it's an insatiable desire. And that's what the sinner knows we're seeing. They may drink all they want for a little while, but soon they'll be back. And that desire is insatiable. It just continues to go more and more and more. We cursed His holy name. We belittled Him and mocked His only begotten Son. We grieved God. We run and gain allies against Him. And His long-suffering, His gentleness, discredit Him, dishonor Him, all that we could, and oppose Him in all manners that He would permit. That's what sinners do. We enjoy the mercies of God daily and call it luck. We declare we're self-made men. We look at Great Babylon, which I built. We dote and praise evolution, Mother Nature, and Father Earth. In all our ways, lost to this world, seek to rob God of the glory and honor that rightly deserved by Him alone. Such are the subjects of the love in God's election. Sinners. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Listen to this list. They like a bunch of church members like this. It's what we got. Now tell us about this. There's only one thing wrong with any church of the Lord Jesus Christ on this planet. It's made up of sinners.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a great place to be. God told the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what verse 11 says?
Yes.
And such were some of you. You
know. Amen.
Well, we start looking down our nose, the people wouldn't read that list, don't we?
That's right.
Amen. All we need to do is look in the mirror.
That's right.
And then our nose will turn down with the rest of our brow face toward the ground where it ought to be started. To know that such was thou. While I may not have been guilty of personally committing every one of these, but I transgressed in one, I stood before God as guilty as if I'd done it all. That cries out with, we know God's election is love in it. All right. I'm just going to give this and we'll quit. The success of election commands the love of God.
Yes.
I want to just say, do you remember who the subject of election are? Of those wicked sinners, deserved hell, condemnation, hatred of God. You know what they're going to do? You know what the love of God made election? Made it be successful.
That's right.
That we should be holy without blame in Him alone. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love for which love does. How could such a creature as we be holy in the sight of God, whose eyes are more holy than to look upon sin? Before whom the heavens are not pure in His sight, who charges His angels with folly? That holy God. We may do so because of His love. His love chose us, atoned for us, quickened us, called us, lives within us, causes us to preserve and hold on. He shall resurrect us. First Peter, yes, thank you, brother. He shall come and take us home, and He shall rejoice in us in one of these days. Because of God's love and election, which encompasses everything that's needed to make us what He wants us to be. One of these days, Jesus Christ, I believe it's Hebrews 2, either Hebrews 2 or Hebrews 3, He's going to one day stand in the presence of God in eternity, and He said, behold, it is I. And the children.
And the children.
I'm not here alone. I'm here with all the children You're giving me. I've kept Your will, Father. What is Your will? It's with Your will that of all that Thou hast given me, I should lose nothing.
All right, glory to God.
You know what's going to be there? Everyone whom God loved and chose
in Christ.
In Christ, before the foundation of the world. How can I know? Now listen, I'd 6 o'clock and I'm preaching. How can I know if I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? Huh? How can you know that? First I'd ask you, do you know that this morning? And if you don't, how can you be sure? Brother Pruitt eloquently said, make you calling in election sure. How do you get started on it?